God's peace is always yours in Jesus Christ our Savior. Hear the word of God from Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. All of us have become as one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Yet you, O Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, and we are all the works of your hands. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. Dear friends in Christ, today's good and perfect gift is a clean heart. And who doesn't need that? So let's get started. Imagine with me for a moment a father getting his family ready to go on vacation. And he walks into his garage thinking that he is unplugging his son's bike pump. But instead, he unplugs the family freezer. Oblivious to what has just happened, he gets in the car with his family and off they go. Now, did I mention that this is a summer vacation? In August? In southern Texas? Where it gets really, really hot, and that the freezer is full of meat. So, for 7 sweltering summer days, this guy's garage freezer is unplugged. Now, when the family returns, Dad gets the ingenious idea that it would be good to have some meat for a family barbecue. I don't want to go into all the details, but let's just say it is a moving experience. So now what? Well, the father's got a problem. So what the father does is he takes a rag and a bucket of soap water, and he begins cleaning the outside of the freezer. And when he's finished, the outside of the freezer is clean enough to pass a Marine boot camp inspection. But when he opens the door, it's the inside that's the problem. And it stinks to high heaven. So, what now? Next, the dad says, what am I going to do? He thinks to himself and says, well, I'd stink too if I had the social life of a freezer in a garage. So he decides to throw a party and invites all the other appliances in the neighborhood. The appliances have a few chuckles about limited warranties while the blenders mix it up with everyone. Now, I'm sure this will come as no surprise, but the party doesn't fix the freezer either. So, the guy decides to give his freezer some status. He gives it an iPhone 12 with some great apps and even an American Express gold card. Now his freezer looks classy, stylish, and dare I say it, cool. But when the dad opens the door expecting that to solve the problem, it's still a putrid and disgusting mess on the inside. Finally, he comes up with one more ingenious idea, and he tries getting a date for his freezer. You know, a little high-voltage excitement ought to cure the freezer's problem. But that cute Westinghouse down the block gives his freezer the cold shoulder. Now, I know what most of you are thinking. You're thinking, who is crazy enough to concentrate on the outside of the freezer when it's the inside that's such a mess? Do you really want to know the answer to that question? A woman unloads terrible verbal missiles at her own kids because she's stressed out and then begins to feel guilty. What's her solution? She goes on a spending spree at her favorite outlet. I know what you're thinking. Who is insane enough to focus on the outside when the inside is repulsive, rancid, and rotten? A husband who gets involved in an affair. It's a thrilling adventure, but it ends up driving him into despair and guilt. So what's his solution? He finds new friends who will affirm his actions. A teenager uses drugs and alcohol, maybe gets involved in sexual relations to avoid being the oddball among his friends. So what's the solution? Hide the evidence, breath mints, lies, act like life is normal. Let's be honest, the sinner in us wants us to clean up our lives on the outside, but not on the inside. But it's the inside that's the real problem. Let me repeat that. The sinner has no problem with you cleaning up the outside of your lives, but it's the inside of us that's the real problem. Just ask Isaiah. He tells us like it is. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. So what does Isaiah mean when he says, all of us have become like one who is unclean? In the Old Testament, unclean referred to someone with an infectious disease. And Leviticus 13 says, the person with an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkept, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. What does he mean? When Isaiah says we're all unclean, he is saying that our sin, what's inside of us, is a contagious disease that kills us and others. When we live in sin and get others to sin with us, we're spreading the deadly disease of sin. Imagine if we had to say to others, hi, I'm dying from sin and it's contagious, and if you follow me, my sin will kill you too. We may not have too many friends, but oftentimes we'd be telling the truth. And then God's law sort of quarantines us. It boxes us in. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin, and the soul that sins will die. Because of sin, you and I are a mess, definitely on the inside, and maybe on the outside too. We may look fit as a fiddle on the outside, but on the inside, we've got a rotten mess that's killing us. And this mess of ours is highly contagious. So what will we do with the mess on our inside? Here's the options people try. Option one, blame it. The man said, the woman you put here with me, God, she gave me some fruit of the tree and I ate it. I always like to say, Adam took his sin like a man. He blamed his wife. Others prefer option two. They stuff it. The Bible says in Psalm 32, when I kept silent, that is unrepentant, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. To not repent is like burying toxic waste inside you. To not deal with your sin will corrode and kill you. Some try option three, measure it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are fools. This is the person who says, well, I measure up to my own standards. Yeah. But if your own standards can't get you out of your grave alive, you're dead. no matter what we do on the outside, we still have a huge problem on the inside. Your inside and my inside is like a rotten, rancid mess that spreads into every part of my life and yours, like a lethal disease, actually worse than COVID. So is there any way to deal with my mess other than blame it, stuff it, or measure it according to my own standards? The answer is yes. Confess it. Confess the mess. Cry out to God to solve your problem. Isaiah cries out to God, and he says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, O Lord, and come down." Talk about filth in the freezer. God's sinful people were once knee-deep in it in Egypt. What did they do? They cried out to God for help. And what did God do? Exodus 3, God came down and spoke to Moses in a burning bush about how he was going to rescue his people. And guess what? God did rescue them. And he provided, and the people walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. So Isaiah pleads with God like we should. God, you did it before, and you can do it again in my life. And what Isaiah cries out for, rend the heavens and come down, O God, and save us on the inside and the outside. And God answers again. And God's answer arrives in Jesus Christ, who for us men and our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. He took on skin so he could die for sin. He took on blood so he could bleed for man. Isaiah held God to his gracious reputation to save. And he said, "You came down and did awesome things that we did not expect in the past. So do it again, God. We need you to clean us up." And when God comes down, he does the unexpected. In his first miracle at a wedding at Cana, Jesus turns wash water into the wine of gladness, a picture of the wine of his blood that gladdens the hearts of his forgiven bride. No one expected that. When Jairus's daughter died, Jesus said, "She's not dead, she's sleeping," and everybody laughed at him, until he took her by the hand and brought her back to life. No one expected God to do that. Jesus carried all of our filth and rottenness to the cross, and there God the Father damned God the Son to save all sinners. And no one expected that. And finally, against all odds, Jesus rose again from the dead, conquering our death. And absolutely no one expected that. Why would a holy and perfect God send his Son into our ugly mess to do such a radical cleansing of guilty sinners? Because our God is finally a loving and gracious Father. That's what Isaiah says next. "Yet you, O Lord, are our Father." A little girl came to her daddy and said, "Daddy, I took your scissors and cut my hair." And the little girl now looked like a punk rock star. "So what do you think the father did?" He lifted his daughter into his lap and asked, "Is that a good thing to do?" And the little girl sheepishly said, "No." "And what does daddy do when you get his scissors?" "You spank me because you don't want me to hurt myself." "And what do you think daddy should do this time?" And the little girl said, "Love me like a daddy." And at those words, the daddy took her in his arms and forgave her. Don't we all want a father like that? Who is at his best when we're at our worst? Whose grace is strongest when our faith is the weakest? A father who will pick up the pieces and clean up the messes of our lives. Well, guess what? This is the Father you have. the Father you have in Jesus Christ, who sent his only Son to mop up all of our mess ups with his blood and give us a good conscience. So why blame your messed up inside on someone on the outside? Why stuff your mess up so deeply that they make your life a toxic mess when the forgiving cross is open for business? Why measure your mess ups against your self-chosen standards that can't get you out of your grave alive? There is a better way. Confess your mess. Confess it to your loving Father and ask him to solve your problem. He will do awesome things again, things you do not expect. He did it before on Calvary, and he'll do it again with Calvary. Why is that? You know the answer. Because your Father loves you. How do you know that? He sent Jesus to die for you. Isaiah, like no other book in the Bible, shows us the beauty and splendor, the mercy and grace of our Heavenly Father and of our Savior Jesus, who still comes down to us this day in the middle of our messes, using his pierced hands and pierced feet to draw us to him without fear, so that we give him our unclean messes and receive from him a clean heart, a new and right spirit, a cleansed conscience, and new and forgiven life. Amen.